Hello and welcome to the Heat Unmissables podcast. I'm Boyd Hilton. I am the entertainment director of Heat Magazine. This is our weekly pop culture podcast where we look at three or four things that are out this week. This week, again, it's all TV. I mean, I'm going to mention a film in the first bit, but mostly it's about television. I'm joined by Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
Entertainment editor.
Queen.
Oh, official title, Queen.
Queen of soaps.
Queen of all your hearts.
Queen of all your hearts. Mm. And Stephanie Seelan, who has a mystery title.
No mystery. Princess.
Yeah. Queen of heat. Queen of all. You were in New York last week.
I was in New York. And I stupidly didn't sleep on the way back. But do you know what? Oh, I meant to say to you. So on the way back, I was sitting next to this person who's going to potentially be on a television show called Matt Harvey, and he's going to be on a television show. And when he's on a television show, I'm going to get him to come in.
Was he like, is he just an actor? Is he a random person?
He's a musician. He was in like Les Mis for a year. Oh. But he's potentially going to
be... I think he's giving you the chat.
No!
He's giving you the chat. Did he ask for your number?
No.
Your business card.
No. Just business card, yes. I mean, no. But I think he might be famous.
Okay.
So...
And I look forward to seeing him.
He's our new biggest fan. And I said, you need to come on the show if you get famous.
Is he still in Les Mis? Should we go and see him?
He's not in Les Mis, but he's in something else. I don't think I can say what he's getting.
Don't reveal secrets about him that you've already said too much.
I haven't. Sorry.
Anyway, today we're looking at, as I said, we are looking at four television treats. I said this last week, but I'm saying it again. They're TV treats, Kay.
Treats.
Trust Me is the new BBC One drama starring Doctor Who.
Jodie Whittaker. The new Doctor.
Funnily enough, it's all about her. She's a nurse, and she ends up faking it as a doctor. So it's Doctor playing Doctor Who.
That's going to blow so many minds out there.
It's mind-blowing. Anyway, in sharp contrast, Teach My Pet to Do That, which is a new thing on ITV, and I'm going to call it, and I'm going to instigate a new regular slot in the show called the
Ridiculous Show Slot?
Fluff Slot.
It's called the Fluff Slot.
It's a kind of fun, frothy show.
Okay.
Because we do a lot of big, heavy dramas. Mm-hmm. I think most weeks we do a Fluff Slot. We haven't officially labelled it as such, but this week, Teach My Pet to Do That, I'm saying, is this week's fluff.
I've got so many thoughts.
Good.
I hope they're nice thoughts, Kay. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll get to that. There's also Blood Drive on the sci-fi... Easy, hold on. Okay. No spoilers. On the sci-fi channel, which they're kind of mooting as one of the most hardcore TV series ever in terms of, like, blood, sex, nudity, violence, that kind of thing.
Who are the they?
The people.
Yeah,
the people on the ground who work for sci-fi, the sci-fi channel.
They're not sci-fi pogs. They're not proper pogs.
No, they're not proper pogs.
Like you beloved people out there.
And finally, another new Netflix show. Yes, pretty much week in, week out, they trot out their own originals. And here's another one called Atypical. It's about a teenager who is on the autistic spectrum. I think that's one of the main themes of the show. Is that fair to say?
I mean, it is the theme of the show.
I don't want to spoil my review, but I'm just going to say I watched... binged the whole series.
Oh, good. That's good.
God, you hated it.
But as ever, we start with our little roundup of stuff that we happen to have seen ourselves this week. There's no rules. We can say whatever we want. We might have seen anything. We might have stayed up and watched The Casualty. Stayed up. We might have stayed in on Saturday night and watched The Casualty one-shot special. Did you know about this?
No, I didn't watch it.
I know.
I'm sorry, can you just
I'm just mentioning it now.
What is it?
Casualty on Saturday, right?
The Doctor Show.
Funnily enough, our question is going to be, what's your favourite ever medical drama?
Okay.
Which might be Casualty. I mean, who knows? But Casualty this week was, they did a special episode entirely filmed in one single shot. Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty impressive, I think. However, it wasn't.
Oh, no.
And the funny thing is, the only reason I had lunch with my mum yesterday, and my mum said thought it was terrible. She had a big rant about how bad she thought it was. And then I thought, well, I better catch up with it. So last night, I had a look myself via the BBC iPlayer, and it was. I mean, technically, it was great. Like, the cameraman deserves an award. But everything else, the acting, the script, and everything was terrible.
About these kind of things, it's like with live shows. what is the point? Is it just to get an award?
I think
they don't need to do it in one shot. And if it's going to be a bit substandard, one
point. Shot, what is the point?
What is the point? I think the point of it is publicity. It's publicity. You know, I'm in favour of it because it's to refresh the format. And obviously, Casual's been going for like 50 million years. It's on like 50 weeks of the year.
Go live. Do that.
Well, they've done live, haven't they? They've done
live. Was
that
good?
I didn't see it. I don't watch Casualty every week.
Was it an operation? What was the shot?
No, it was a big like explosion. There were operations. There was everything. I mean, it was technically good, but you know.
So was it just like one shot where they panned?
Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't even what I was going to talk about.
Right, sorry, what were you going to talk about?
In the opening section of the show where we talk about anything we haven't seen. I've got loads to say because I've seen the worst film of the year. I watched Game of Thrones last night. Stayed up to 3 as usual.
Oh, no, please, don't give anything away.
I'm not going to give anything away, but it was effing brilliant.
Of course it was.
Best episode so far. Yeah. And I've seen all of Top of the Lake.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't even mean to watch it all. It was a proper situation where the BBC do the thing now where they crank it up so that in the little box it says, right, the next episode's going to start.
Oh, yeah, Netflix style.
Like Netflix style and Sky, yeah. And I fell into the deep. Let me just say now, it is the most incredible thing ever. Episode 3 has one of the best things I've ever seen on TV, one of the best scenes I've ever seen on TV. It's completely wild and insane. And then the final episode is just mind-blowingly good. It's absolutely incredible.
Out of Game of Thrones and Top of the Lake, which was better? And I know they're different, but I'm asking you to compare them.
Well, Top of the Lake is...
Just in one word.
Because Top of the Lake is... Top of the Lake right now, because Top of the Lake Series 2, China Girl, is...
Top
you know, I've seen the whole thing.
Six hours.
And it's an absolute masterpiece. I mean, I thought the first one was brilliant, but this one is... I think it's just kind of even deeper and even more stuff it's dealing with. And the interesting thing about it is the whole thing rests on a complete coincidence. Because basically, she's investigating, you know, Elizabeth Thingy's character. What's her name? What's her second name?
Moss.
Elizabeth Moss, sorry. I was thinking Elizabeth Banks. Elizabeth Moss's character, yes, you're right, is this detective. She comes back to Sydney and she happens to be investigating this huge thing involving her real daughter that she gave up for adopted boyfriend and their extended family. And it's like a massive coincidence, but it's almost like you just buy into it because it's so brilliant. And you just go along with the whole thing. And there are more coincidences along the way because it all completely ties together and makes sense to explore all the themes it's trying to explore about motherhood and babies and identity and masculinity or something like that. Anyway, so you got that. Game of Thrones last night. I won't say anything
Please
apart from
don't.
The fact that all big characters are meeting up.
They're all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. Jon Snow is going to meet Daenerys.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Did you...
She doesn't know.
They're all
dead.
I know.
She doesn't know anything.
No, they're not
all
dead.
All died last night.
A lot of them are alive. And it's brilliant Cersei stuff. Oh. Fantastic Cersei stuff. And incredible Dame Diana Rigg stuff. You know Dame Diana Rigg?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you've got a lot.
She's very angry at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything more. What are you two been watching, though? I've hogged the opening I've been watching section. I haven't even talked about the worst film of the year yet, so I'm going to Kay. Kay, what have you been watching?
I watched, at the weekend, Cafe Society.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So Woody Allen's film. It was on Sky Movies, so I thought I'd give it a go. And I absolutely loved it, right? Because it had all the...
I thought there was going to be a but.
No but. No, it's like... It's so brilliantly filmed and, like, captures all the glitz and the glamour of Hollywood. And I realised that's exactly what I had wanted The Last Tycoon to be from Amazon Prime. Right, so last week I was, you know, going on about like, it just didn't really feel as glossy. And this film is exactly that. So I really loved it.
Have you watched Hail Caesar?
No.
Oh, no, you should watch that next because that'll give you more of what you want.
That made me hate The Last Tycoon even more.
Yeah, it will, definitely.
I really liked Cafe Society as well, actually. And you're right, it was one of the... It is one of his best-looking films for years. It's
so
lush. And I think, now you've mentioned it, I'm trying to look it up quickly on my iPhone, but I think he was reunited with one of his best cinematographers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for that film. But
I'll
double check that.
It definitely
And Steph tells her what she's been watching. I will check it out.
Can I just say, though, The Last Tycoon is getting a huge... Like, there were posters absolutely everywhere in New York for Last Tycoon.
Oh, really?
So, it's a big deal. Yeah.
I know, but it's rubbish. No. Yeah. Anyway, Do you know what I did? I watched binge-watched the whole first series of Insecure. We reviewed it.
Yeah.
We reviewed the first episode of series 2 last week, which is Issa Rae's show,
On the same page.
Oh, listen, I'm so hooked. Then I'm up to episode 4 on season 2. I am absolutely hooked. She's incredible. Like, I was kind of like... I don't know, I wasn't invested enough because I hadn't watched the first series. But now I'm deeply in love with Jay Ellis, who plays Lawrence, her boyfriend.
Yes. Oh, the cheater.
She's a cheater.
No, yeah.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
God, I mean, that was like only dogs could hear
I'm honestly so emotionally involved with this now. Like, to the point of, you know, when you Google about their lives and everything afterwards. Yeah. Like, really.
You
and you know, the girl who plays Molly.
Yeah.
She's such a devout Christian that she is not going to have sex until she gets married, which I think is so strange, her being in this hugely sexy show where everyone's naked all the time.
Makes her even cooler.
That's interesting.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah,
really interesting.
Yeah, I literally know everything about them now.
So, yeah, as suspected, the cinematographer of Catholic Society is Vittorio Storaro, who's an absolute legend, who among other things, did Apocalypse Now. You know, he's a proper, okay. One of the great cinematographers, so that's why it looks
well, he's
so
done
good.
A good job.
He's done a very
good
job.
Five stars from me.
Exactly. Well, I'm thrilled that Insecure, you've because that was a thing, if you probably hadn't have done it in this podcast, I'm saying you would never have watched it in your
Boyd,
life.
Boyd, I promise you this, I would never have watched it in my life had you not told me to watch it. It's brilliant, absolutely
I want to take
brilliant.
Credit for that.
Yeah, no, please do. All credit due.
Yeah. I just want to quickly mention the worst film of the
year.
Quickly,
because
I know we're running out of time already.
Kate
won't like it if we go over our allotted hour.
Well, you just lose the bet. I think you've already lost the bet.
No, we haven't.
Keeping this under an hour.
I don't know. We can keep it tight.
I'm looking at John
Dunn,
and he's. I think we have lost it. But anyway,
he's
keep going.
Scared.
Valerian, we're not helping ourselves now, are we?
Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Cara Delevingne.
Yes.
Oh, do you know what always puts me off?
Go on.
You know when you one word can put me off any kind of film. Dystopian. Is this dystopian?
Well, it's not particularly dystopian, actually. We'll worry about that. If it was more dystopian, it'd probably be better.
Oh,
I mean, it's
really
quasi-dystopian. It's semi-dystopian. There's a bit of dystopia.
Tell us what it's about.
It's Luc Besson, who I'm a huge fan
Fifth
of.
Element.
Fifth Element, exactly. Fifth Element, Leon. This, that, and the... Do you know what I say a lot? This, that, and the other. I've realised I say that too much. Of course. So every time I say this, that, and the other, stop, because it's a meaningless phrase.
Do you want me to flick your
eyes? No, it isn't. This, that, and the other is not meaningless at all.
It's fairly meaningless.
It's about other things. Yeah. It's about this, that, and the other.
Yeah. Well, in this case, the that and the other of the non-dystopian bits are, I mean, it's basically trying to do the new Fifth Element. So it's a sci-fi fantasy epic. Cara Delevingne and Dane DeHaan are the two. They're like a bickering couple at the centre of it. They are. I mean, I don't even blame them, either of them. I don't even blame Cara Delevingne. It's just saddled with the most boring two major characters I've ever seen in the film. It's just their bickering is just not funny.
What are they
bickering about? They're just bickering about whether they should get married, and they're a couple and they're
they're not even fun bickering.
Unfun bickering.
Ugh.
Terrible.
Oh
God, it sounds like just a boring relationship.
It's based on this like really old comic strip that he loved, and it's a passion project for him. And I feel bad because
passion project. Never a good idea.
No.
He lost us at
right.
passion.
And it's apparently the most expensive independent film ever, like 150 million or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. He's piled in the CGI. There's about a gazillion different CGI creatures. Half of them look exactly like the things in Avatar. Then there's those things.
Oh, this is a passionless project. It sounds like.
There's a thing that looks exactly like Jabba the Hutt at one point. They're just done, kind of doing exactly the same thing as Jabba the Hutt. It's like... I don't want to accuse it of being a rip-off, but it does feel like a rip-off of every alien film we've ever seen. Then there's this bit where Rihanna pops up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, playing like a stripper / prostitute.
No, Rihanna.
Is she
really
better than Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones?
Well, it's a bit similar, because like Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones, it completely takes you out of the narrative. The narrative just stops, literally, for this new Rihanna thing that does not contribute in any way.
Oh, my God, is she doing the Dutty Wine?
It's much longer. She does a dance thing. The Dutty
Wine.
She's like a shape-shifting alien stripper.
Oh,
yeah, it's
no,
it. Honestly, it's
that.
Embarrassing. It's diabolical.
How many stars are you giving it?
Oh, I'm going to give it one star. I was so excruciated watching it.
You can't even get through it. Could you get through it?
I sat there. Oh, I had to get through it because I went to the special screening ages ago that Luc Besson introduced. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I couldn't bear it. There's some people who quite like it. Like Charles Gant in Heat gave it 3 stars and thinks it's quite good fun.
Ooh,
so
now I don't know what to think because they do respect the Charles.
Yeah, you do respect the Charles. But yeah, having said that, there's other reviews. Like Hollywood Reporter said it was one of the worst films
But
ever.
Don't you think sometimes when you go to the special screenings, they bring in like the director and then you feel like you can't say anything bad? Because you're like,
that's
why
they do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Don't you feel like they do that because they know it's going
to
be bad?
But Charles went to a normal screening without the director there.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to the one where the director
there. I think you mean we need to go and see it, Steph. We need to give our verdict.
Okay. I'm partly annoyed with myself that I didn't force the two of you to see it and that we didn't get to review it as a thing.
We'll go on a little date.
Yeah,
if
you want to go and see it and we can catch up, that could be your. I should set a task of the week. That could be another new slot I've just invented.
Task of the week. We're going to
bring
John Dan.
Task of the week.
We're going to bring him in. Our wonderful producer. We're going
to
bring him.
Just to add to your homework.
You up for it, John Dan? That was a thumbs up, everyone,
it
that you couldn't
up.
Hear, but we could see.
Anyway, enough of me witchering on about the worst film of the year. By the way, Valerian is on. It opens this week. I think it opens tomorrow, Wednesday.
After that glowing review, go see it.
Rush out.
And can I just say, Boyd's actually written down Boyd is going to speak about Valerian, worst film of the year. Yeah. You've actually put that down.
I have put that on the menu, yeah.
Wow.
More importantly, in the meat of the show, let's turn to one of the big dramas, I'm saying, not only of this week, ooh, not only of this month,
whoa,
possibly of the year.
Whoa!
It's a new thriller. Kay's eyebrows have raised.
Sorry, no, that's just how I've plucked them.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Perpetually surprised.
It's impressive plucking. Who wants to describe the premise? I alluded to it a little bit. Trust me. Yeah, go for it, Kay. So yeah. Stars Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
Of Broadchurch and now Doctor Who fame. Kay, who is she? What's she doing? What's happening?
Jodie Whittaker is a nurse called Kath, right? She is a dedicated nurse, a sister, if you will, who works for a hospital in Sheffield and absolutely loves her job, is passionate about medicine, but she feels really disheartened by what's going on, the cuts and all this. She feels has led to negligence and, you know, sloppiness within the hospital. And so she decides to go to a local journalist to report the issue because, you know, essentially blowing that whistle on the whole kind of
for
scandal.
Dramatic effect there.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a very good gasp, yeah, as if you hadn't actually seen the thing.
I know.
I'd like it even more if you blew a whistle. Yeah. Just FYI. Oh, anyway.
Yeah, we should do that. Should be a new
maybe
thing.
Maybe too much.
Yeah, the whistleblower.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah.
So she goes to see this journalist, but then she gets cold feet and she thinks, no, actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my concerns to the board. And she documents all the evidence she has to them. And not surprisingly, they're not that open to criticism. And in fact, then decide to suspend her on the basis that people have issued complaints of bullying. That old chestnut. So then she finds herself out of a job. She's got a little girl that she needs to support. And she then takes drastic action to support that child. I think we said at the beginning of the show, should I just say that she...
Yeah, it's the premise of the show. Okay. You're worrying it's a spoiler. I think this is a premise for your spoiler situation. I'm going premise.
Okay. The premise is her best friend, who's a doctor, who's emigrating to New Zealand, leaves and she steals her identity and she goes to Edinburgh where she passes herself off as a doctor. And this whole drama then follows everything that she has to do to kind of convince people and herself that she is a doctor, which is incredibly terrifying.
And we should say she's not in any... So she's obviously a really good nurse. And they establish that, don't they?
Oh, she's an amazing nurse. Oh, but she's a sister.
Right. Yeah. In no way is she a trained doctor. And anyway, in fact, I think one of the interesting... To kind of remind us all the way through, she's carrying like a Doctors for Beginners
York notes
of doctoring. Yeah. And that is her thing, that she's literally carrying
it
around.
She's watching videos on YouTube.
Although, one of my best friends is a doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Kay, she sometimes tells me that she has to Google stuff. Where, like, she's a GP, so when the people...
Again,
you have to
Google... Is this thing you should be admitting about?
No. I think
do you want to say her surname? Just like get really
Kate
struck
Breckenridge.
Off.
There
oh,
you go.
Oh, my God. Hospital where she works?
Fine. No. I just think in general...
Are you sure she's real?
No, I just think in general, people do have to, you know, sometimes they have to look up. They don't know everything. I mean, she does, because she's amazing.
Doctors are gods.
Doctors are allowed to use Google. Yeah.
Absolutely, but it's good if they've got the full qualifications as a doctor.
She has not had the training. Not only she not had the...
Kate is trained.
Just established. Kate
is trained.
She's a trained doctor. Jodie Whittaker, trained
not
actress.
Trained. Yeah.
As
yeah.
a nurse.
Yeah.
So
trained
what
fictional nurse.
So what do we think? And one of the things interesting, I went to the screening of this as well, that they had a screening about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, and Jodie Whittaker was there holding forth. And so was the writer. So this is written by a guy called Dan Sefton, who wrote Good Karma Hospital, which you quite liked, didn't you? That IT...
I watched it.
Oh, okay, you didn't.
I watched it. What was it? The Good Karma Hospital.
And he wrote Delicious, that thing.
Yes, which I did
like
enjoy.
Oh, right.
I knew
you liked one or other of them.
Yeah, yeah, no,
the Dawn
Delicious.
French Sky ones, which
that.
I liked as well. And he is an actual real-life doctor.
What? Oh,
yes.
That always helps.
Talk about
still
overachieving.
Still practicing doctor.
Hold on. He's a doctor, a practicing doctor.
Yes.
And what, at the weekends?
I think
he is just writing...
Yeah,
dramas?
The weekends in his spare time, he's writing dramas.
But stop overachieving.
That's like the guy who did the Sean Bean Priest. Wasn't he a doctor? Or no, someone else. One of the...
Jimmy McGovern? No.
Someone else. One of the other TV producers.
Oh.
Do you remember?
Vaguely, but I don't.
Okay, we'll come back to it.
We'll come
it's
back
a comeback.
To that. It's a comeback. But no, Dan Sefton is an actual doctor. But the main thing, the reason I mention this is, he made it very clear at the screening in the Q&A afterwards that this is based on things that happen all the time in reality. So all the time, and I don't want to worry you too much, there are fake doctors out there. There are people who pass themselves off of doctor without any training whatsoever. He gave one example that was terrifying of someone who'd been practicing doctoring for like 30 or 40 years and only revealed literally right at the end that they'd never ever passed any qualifications whatsoever. I mean, it's an incredible thing.
Oh, my God,
and it's
is
almost
that
like a
true?
Syndrome that people do it for various reasons. Some, there have been cases where people do it, like she's doing it for very specific reasons. They establish, don't they, dramatically. Her kid, she needs to go somewhere with her kid. She's been, you know, there are people who just do it practically for fun. I mean,
for fun, it's not fun, people. No, this is a lesson to just take care of yourself. Yeah.
So I just wanted to establish, in case people think it's far-fetched, you know, that actually he made it very clear this kind of thing happens a lot.
What happened to references? Don't people get checked out anymore?
People fake them.
Do you know what? This is making me feel a lot better because I don't want to brag, but I am St. John's Ambulance trained, right? I'm a first aider, and I often think of myself as a doctor. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's legit.
Well,
okay,
you
now.
Could, if you want to, if you, late career move, if you ever want to.
Well,
you
if
know.
Either of you have an ailment, yeah. I'm going for it.
That's good to know. Anyway, so bearing that in mind, bearing in mind, I don't know whether you think it seems far-fetched or not, what did you think of Trust Me, starring Jodie Whittaker?
Whittaker.
Right. I really liked it. I tell you what it is. I just found it so tense.
Yes.
I found it hard to enjoy. Does that make sense? Because I was like, oh my God, this is real. Because at some point she's got to get found out. And I just find things when you know someone is going to get found out really stressful and not enjoyable to watch. She is a brilliant actress.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. And she is making me absolutely shit scared that any second now she's going to get found out. And
it's also the heavy breathing music. There's a heavy breathing like backdrop to a lot of the like really climactic points. So you're just like, oh my God, oh my God. Especially when she, I mean, I think, I kind of agree. I mean, it didn't stop me from enjoying it. I enjoyed it more because it was so tense and thrilling. But the points that were just like, oh shit, was like, for example, there's a major trauma gets brought in and she has to just go with the flow and just pretend she knows what she's doing, which includes like, you know, slicing someone open. It's pretty
That's the thing,
terrifying.
Because she's not just a doctor, you know, she could be a doctor in whatever department. She's an A&E doctor, the hardest thing just to deal with any and every thing that comes her way. But I totally agree with you. I think that was the thing that I felt when I was watching it, that it's so tense, isn't it? And it's but I think it works on multiple levels of tension, because you're tense that she's going to be found out, so you're actually brilliantly, very cleverly, she's doing something completely wrong. I mean, obviously it's terrible. She's stolen someone's identity. She's passing herself off as a doctor. It's awful. She's endangering lives, really. Mm. But you're totally with her. You're totally rooting for her.
Yeah.
And part of the extreme, no, well, I was, part of the extreme tension is, can she possibly get away with it? Is she going to accidentally kill someone any minute now? And then secondly, there's a tension of these individual moments. Like you say, the trauma that she has to deal with. Is that person going to die? Is she going to... So it just works.
It's very stressful.
Almost unbearably tense and stressful. But I still think if you can cope with it, I thought it was so clever how it achieved all of that.
What I wanted to say afterwards was, I thought somebody will definitely want to watch this to the end. And the situation I'm in now is, I just want someone to watch it to the end and then tell me what happens, because I don't think I can bear the tension.
I'm definitely going to tune in.
Do you understand what I mean? I just can't.
It's too
bear
tense.
It. It is
really?
Too much. I found it too much. But can you watch it to the end?
I will. You didn't think it was that tense?
I'm very good with medical dramas.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I mean, I get the impression that she's going to be found out in the second episode, so I think we should be fine. So then afterwards, we'll be all right, right?
Will you watch that?
I get the vibe. No, I don't. I just get that sense, like, because I think they're going to focus on then the ramifications, because she finds a love interest in the first episode, which is going to be her undoing, I imagine.
Fellow doctor. Emma Elliott, played by Emma Elliott.
So my thing about it is, and I really, really enjoyed it, is that it's kind of a leap of imagination to imagine this woman who's so, like, morally virtuous, wants to blow the whistle on all these really, like, bad things that happen in the hospital, then very quickly become someone who does something so deceitful and corrupt.
I know what you mean, but I think that is
extreme, isn't it?
She's kind of egotistical, isn't she? Because she sort of gets to the point where she's like, because you see in the first scene, she's really exasperated with all these other doctors, and she's like, move out of the way, let me just do it. So actually, it's more that she's so egotistical, which kind of doesn't go with her character in a way. I know what you mean. That she goes, well, I can be a doctor because I know better.
She thinks she can do it. That's the thing. In her mind... She's not being, she's not setting out to deceive people, and she's not setting out to endanger anyone. She's doing something she thinks she's perfectly capable of doing.
Well, I'm sorry, but when she has to look up the symptoms of diabetes, I don't think she can do it.
Because they do establish early on that she thinks she can do stuff better than a lot of the doctors, which a lot of nurses do, and probably not, they can.
Yeah.
They do, you know, they're practically doing stuff that doctors are like, oh God, I don't want
to
do.
Well, when they've been
that.
Doing it for years and years and years, and then a doctor, like one of those junior doctors, like an F1 and F2 that they call them, they come in, then they probably do have, like, they just have that years more experience. My mother is a nurse, and she loves all doctors. doctors. Just putting
has
out
she
there.
Ever faked being a doctor?
And she faked being a doctor for 30 years. And she got along.
But actually, what I liked is the irony of like the ways that she nearly gets found out is the fact that because she's such an excellent nurse, so like the fact that she does the, you know, she's got such great bedside manner.
Yeah, she's too good.
But all the nurses love her. Yeah,
and that's actually really smart.
It's a four-part. I'm definitely going to carry on watching it.
So just tell me what happens.
Kay and I will tell you. If you can't take it, that's fine. We'll allow that. Kay, how many stars are you giving Trust Me?
Four and a half stars. If you need a good drama, this is it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm going 4.5 stars as well.
I'm going to go 4, but I actually can't watch any more of it.
Trust Me starts next Tuesday, the 8th of August, on BBC One at 9 p.m. Teach My Pet to Do That is the first in what I'm calling our fluff slot. It is summer silly season, by the way, you know, in the world of television. I don't know if you've noticed, but when it gets to high summer now, basically, yeah. It's like early to August onwards to the end of August when X Factor arrives and, you know, the kind of autumn season starts. All the channels just churn out a fair amount of old crap. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying this is, I'm not
is
judging
that 'cause
this.
People are on holiday.
People are on holiday. Of course, executives are on holiday. The whole TV industry. They're all in Sardinia or Sicily, wherever the hell they go. They don't give a shit, you know, what else is on TV. So a lot of stuff. I mean, if you look at the ITV schedules particularly, I don't know if you noticed, but they're showing like Lord of the Rings films, Hobbit films.
Harry Potter films. At the weekend, the TV was so rubbish.
Right. This is why.
It almost forced me out.
Right. So this is what's happening. So just to say, there's a lot of just filler in the schedule. There's sport. There's a lot of sport going on, which I like. That's fine. But so when you get a rare new thing, I mean, BBC commits to showing at least some new stuff. So, for example, Trust Me, great. Mm-hmm. They're showing that in the middle of summer. Brilliant. But anyway, this is a preamble to the fact that I think Teach My Pet to Do That, which is essentially pets do the funniest things, isn't it, in one level, feels to me like a bit like a very summery show, like it's a bit of old nonsense. But anyway, maybe I'm being unfair. Well, Steph, what is this? What the hell is this show?
Full disclosure, I am a huge animal lover and I have two dogs and they are my world. Okay,
she's so sitting here in
Have you taught your pet to do that?
No, my dogs are really badly behaved and they won't do anything you tell them, but they are adorable. Okay. Anyway, so Alexander Armstrong, one of my favourite presenters for presenting anything which he sounds like he's just completely taken the piss out of, because he's brilliant. Obviously, he's the presenter of Pointless, an amazing comedian. He goes to this sort of, it's not a stately home, is it? It's sort of a manor house.
It looks like a stately home.
A manor house where these two trainers teach various animals how to perform tasks such as opening front doors and such like. And also there is they have a pet star pet of the week where they highlight one amazing animal who's learned how to do something. In this case, it is a dog who has learned how to skateboard. The other thing that they're trying to do in this episode is they're trying to get a cat to ride on the back of a Labrador. And I just want to say one thing. Okay.
There is a point, many things.
There is a point in this where it cuts to a woman and she says, I just stood back and I held my breath. It was just staggering. And that is in reference to a cat riding a Labrador at the opening of a doggy daycare centre.
It is surreal, isn't it?
It is surreal.
I mean, that's one word for it.
Oh,
okay, hold on.
Have you got another word?
I sense
horseshit. I mean, is that hyphenated? I don't know if it's hyphenated. It might be one word
horse
or two.
Horseshit?
I mean, there is a little mini horse in it.
Yeah, I know.
And they're very miniature.
Mini horseshit.
Why? I mean, are you telling me, Kay, that you wouldn't like it if you came to my house and my dog, Mo, opened the door for you?
No, I love you. I love your dogs. Right, this whole programme is kind of based on the fact that 50% of the nation own pets, and that I don't know what the stat is, like a bajillion people watch these cute animal videos, and their whole thing is this is for all the people who have sat there wondering, how do they do that? How do their owners teach them? I can safely say, right, when I've watched one of those cute animal videos, I have never thought, how do they do that? I've thought, oh my God, this is really cute. And then I've thought, what am I having for lunch?
You're telling me you've never seen a skateboarding dog and thought, how did the skateboarding dog learn
to skateboard? No, you've never seen that dog that rides a bike and thought, how the fuck did they get that dog on that bike?
Absolutely not, right? So that's, for me, at the very start up, I was like, this is a pointless thing. This is not, you know, sating any appetite I have to know how they do it. But okay, let's go with it. Now, I refer to the dog opening the door episode, right? So we've got Rhiannon the miniature pony and Eric the Labrador cross. Is it Dachshund?
Yes.
Right. So anyway, so they learn to open. They were taught how to open the door at the sound of a doorbell, right?
Yes.
First of all, I don't know why they'd need to do that, but also, like, now.
Well, I mean, that's the. I mean, none of the don't need to do any of these things.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Yeah. It's entirely pointless, right? Anyway, but it's fine. Right.
It's for our entertainment.
It's funny.
Kay.
It's not funny. It's not entertaining. But crucially, right, when we learnt to open doors as children, like any poglets out there will know that when you open
many
the door,
many people on the ground. Yeah.
When you open the door, you're also taught to ask, "Who is it?" Right? None of these dogs are taught, or the pony are taught how to say, "Who is it?" Right? So they're opening the door now to potential burglars, dog nappers.
I know, but all
man
in
from the glue
all
factory.
In the name of fun.
When the dogs take over, like,
they're not asked that, and that's unsafe.
When it's like Rise of the Planet of the Dogs,
yeah.
Then they'll know start.
It's unsafe.
Then they'll be able to speak like the apes in Planet of the Apes.
Listen, let me just say this: if you were thinking about burgling a house, right, and you knock the door, firstly, that's fucking stupid, okay? Because that is not how you burgle a house. You go in through the window. Everyone knows that. And also, if you were a burglar that did open the did knock on the door, and then have a Shetland pony open the door. I think you'd think twice. That's all I'm saying.
You'd like, I mean, you wouldn't shit yourself on the spot.
Hold on a minute.
But
is it a Shetland pony?
Yes, a Shetland pony opens the door.
Pony,
you were
yeah.
like, right, lads, bring the car around. I've got a Shetland pony here.
Well, listen, if Rhiannon and Eric go missing, then on your heads be
I mean,
it.
Part of my
but
problem
those
with
the names
that,
of your dogs.
No, they're the names of the dogs
oh,
in the
yeah.
show.
Oh, yeah.
Rhiannon's a pony.
Rhiannon's oh, but yeah. the part pony. Of my problem with it show is pony. That they train this. They train the animals with just a door that's kind of a floating door in the centre, yeah. which is just not real life, is it?
Floating doors are not real life.
No, though. It's not. Which I
None
think
of this
not
is science. Real life. It's just like, what have we become?
But can I just say, I agree with you generally. I think I was generally like open mouth with what is the point of this? What
I'm
is the
telling
point
you
of,
now.
But the point is to fill the schedule in the summer. That's why I mentioned
I'm
the beginning.
I'm just going to stand up because I actually think, right, people on the ground, our beloved listeners, I'm telling you now, the pogs will be sitting there with their little dogs and thinking, hold on a minute, let me go and get the ribbon and see if I can get, you know, Rover to start opening the back door. Because that's what, because it's fun.
What about the dogs? The dogs on the ground.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Right, do you know what?
The dogs.
At one point,
literally the dogs.
At one point they say, ooh, this bit is massively fun. Spoiler, it's not fun,
no.
right?
If and you they, say things are I, fun, they're not
And they start playing
fun.
This tense music when it's not tense.
For me, there was one, I did like Ziggy the skateboarding dog.
Yes.
And his owner.
That's because you love skateboarding.
Yeah, I like skateboarding. So I was impressed with the border.
But did you like it when Alexander Armstrong said, what has this done for you, having this skateboarding dog?
Yeah,
and he went, well.
Changed his life.
Yeah, but what did he was like, yeah.
What kind of life does
really,
he have then?
I
if
really
he
wasn't
changed.
Doing much before that. That was his
no,
explanation.
No, he said he wasn't
like,
doing much.
I wasn't really
yeah.
doing much before it. So it's giving me something to do.
I'm fascinated with Alexander Armstrong's career because
hilarious.
It's really interesting because I used to know him quite because I used to I was on Armstrong and Miller sketch show once. I
no.
did, oh, yeah, I did a set visit for Heat,
oh,
and I was
God.
In his sketch. Yeah,
were you on Pointless as well?
No, we did a Pointless for Journalists that was never actually shown on TV. Thank God, it was it was for a feature. But I was actually in Armstrong and Miller once, and anyway, and they were lovely. I love them both, and they're very talented and funny. But they've kind of, you know, they did loads of series of that sketch show, and they were two of the funniest, most acclaimed comedy double acts around. Now, I mean, I'm not being disparaging, but it's interesting that he's completely gone down this road of doing a lot of kind
Any
of middle
shit.
Of the road ITV shows. You know what I mean? I mean, Pointless is a phenomenon, but he did that thing recently, the for charity, the Full Monty thing.
Right.
We had to take
did
you
do
see
that?
He did that. He kind of
he
hosted it
did,
and took part in it.
He took off his clothes.
He did that. He did that kind of karaoke singing celebrity competition.
He released an album. He's released an album.
Yeah,
everyone's
very
releasing an album.
Successful that Alexander Armstrong
I'm not
album.
Slanging it off. I'm
Can
just
saying
say the
everyone's
facts?
Doing albums now.
Okay.
I mean, there is Shane Richie's doing one. Jason Manford's doing one. If you're
Jason,
yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Jason Manford.
Yeah.
Shall
we
the one who
we
was
should
in
review
that?
These albums?
Jason Manford,
yeah,
was
should.
He in the tech scandal?
Yes, he was. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know.
No,
like,
no, I'm just
yeah,
wondering if it
comedian.
Was that one.
But
it
is the thing. Sorry to bring this up. Sorry to shock you all with the news of all these people doing albums. But anyway. But my point is, Alexander Armstrong's career, fascinating. And now he's doing this. I think he's really funny in it. I mean, he kind of
he's taking the
his
piss.
His approach to the whole thing is to take the piss. But he's got to, hasn't he, really? I mean, it's the only way to deal with it all. Anyway, bottom line, for me, it's a harmless but massively pointless schedule.
It's
filler,
not pointless.
If you pardon the pun about pointless.
Listen, 6 weeks to train a cat to ride on top of a Labrador, that's not fun, that's serious.
I sense a glowing multi-star rating from you.
Pogs
Steph.
Will love it.
How many stars are you giving it?
5 stars. It's fun.
You lunatic.
Like, really, literally, Kay's mouth is so wide open and she's shaking her head at the same time.
She's disgusted with you.
Yeah, you. Do you know what, though? I'm going to teach Mo to open the door to you and I bet you go, oh my God, that is amazing.
Yeah, then I'll open that door and I'm going to grab Mo and run. Yeah.
Wow.
Blimey.
I know. Dognap.
Dognap, yeah. How many stars are you giving it, Kay?
I'm giving it 1 star.
One?
And that's... I think it's teaching people to be irresponsible with door opening.
With what?
Door opening.
Door opening. Your door opening
fixation
is a bit like one of Steph's fixations.
Oh my God, it really is.
Poglets out there, I'm not sure never any... open the door without asking who's
okay,
right.
there. But I don't think that's any reason to slag it off. I just
one.
Thought it was...
All right, 1.5 if you want.
I'm giving it 2.5. I mean, it is mediocre and pointless, but I did like the Ziggy, the skateboarding dog. If they can have a skateboarding animal on every week, I'll be fine.
They're going to have a star animal on every week.
Something to look forward though?
To. I mean, he is good.
Will there be like a skateboarding elephant?
I know, I liked his jacket as well. Oh, that would be good.
Oh, you know what? If they had an elephant, say, I would love it.
Right. Teach My Pet to Do That, which is the title, starts next Friday, the 11th of August, on ITV at 8 o'clock.
And that, mercifully, it's only half an hour.
Set your video recorders right
Kay
now.
Ribeiro. Honestly.
Starting the day before, next Thursday at 10 o'clock on the Sci-Fi Channel. I think this is, I know, this is the first time we've ever done a show on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's spelled S-Y-F-Y, by the way, not Sci-Fi. It used to be called, and it's like a channel that shows a lot of fun. It does the Sharknado stuff. Sharknado's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Stupid stuff.
In the renaming of it, does it instantly become more accessible to the youth?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the whole point. So Blood Drive, which has been made for the Sci-Fi Channel in America. So this is a global phenomenon, the Sci-Fi Channel. So it's you know, big thing in America.
Did they show, was X-Files on this?
No, X-Files is on Fox.
Because that's all right.
Why did you think X-Files?
No. I wanted to give it some sort of credibility because I thought this was so utterly terrible.
Spoiler!
I was just like, oh, but Sci-Fi Channel's all right because it has X-Files, but it doesn't. So it's just rubbish. Sorry.
So Blood Drive, I would say, is the reason we're doing it is, I mean, A, it is the summer and there's a lot of nonsense on, but B, it is one of the Sci-Fi Channel in America's most prominent original shows they've ever done. And it's getting a lot of attention over there. It's getting a lot of heat. It's getting quite a lot of buzz because the whole idea of it is we're going to do this grindhouse. You know the phrase grindhouse?
No, I don't.
Quentin Tarantino did his films with they're kind of like B-movie exploitation things that kind of cheap, deliberately silly, over-the-top things with a lot of sex and violence and gratuitousness.
Oh,
that's the kind
that
of what grindhouse, the genre is, you know, stuff that is being shown to titillate rather than, you know, any great to say anything about anything or to be great works of cinematic or televisual art. So that's the kind of genre it's trying to ape, if you like. Mm. And it's obviously got a lot of Mad Max. It's set in a kind of weird alternative version of 1999. It is dystopian.
Oof, there you go. Shit.
Isn't it? Post-apocalypse is set in this world, kind of Mad Max style shit world.
Yeah, oh, we've done a lot of swearing this pod.
I know, apologies. You wanted Poglets. Little kids to listen.
No, Poglets. Don't copy these sewer mouths.
Anyway, it's set in this world where oil and water are very scarce, as in Mad Max. I mean, total Mad Max ripoff. And hence, there's this kind of underground car racing world, and the cars are run on human blood, aren't they, Kay? Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That is.
Of course they are.
Believe it or believe it not, that is the premise of the thing. And you then meet, there's LA cops, the kind of two of the main characters we meet, the blokes are two hunky LA cops, one of whom spends most of the first episode in a shower naked. So there's like gratuitous nudity, isn't there, from both sides. There's gratuitous male and female nudity. There's a lot of blood. There's literally, you know, there's people's being... bodies being churned up to supply the blood to put in the cars.
Yeah, they're fed into the motor. So it's not like just that the blood is like nicely removed with a syringe. No. I mean, these people are like fed.
It's unpleasant. It's deliberately unpleasant. So, you know, it's supposed to be crazy maverick fun, isn't it? Kay, I mean, we know what Steph thinks already because she's already, spoiler alert.
She's chomping at the bit.
But what did you think? I kind of picked this first. I picked this first because I thought it would be an interesting challenge. What did you reckon?
I thought it was...
Oh, that was a big...
Pause for
almost like you're kind of gathering your... How can I put this?
No, I thought it was like, for that genre, which I'm not really familiar with, I thought it was interesting and potentially well done. But I don't know. I just found it a bit... I thought the dialogue was very cheesy. So you talked about the main character, the human Ken doll, who is the police officer, whose name's Arthur.
Yeah.
You know, his side cop buddy is very, like, cheesy. Like, the... So the premise is they take part in this car race, the meanest, filthiest race ever. And Arthur, who is the hero of the piece, and this woman called Grace, who is like this buxom, badass woman, they're forced to join together as partners in this race. And so his cop buddy guy tries to save him. Mm. And, you know, he comes out with all this stuff of like, they've got my partner and stuff like that. Mm. I'm like, oh God, really? Side order of cheese.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just found it very cheesy. And also, you know what? Not to jump on Steph's prude bandwagon, but I felt like there's some, at the end, particularly there's this last scene, there's this like gratuitous sex scene, which I'm just like, I don't know if we need that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say if you were the next owner of that car, you definitely want the backseat deep cleaned, detailed, and reupholstered.
You know, isn't the whole point of it? The gratuitousness is the whole point, isn't it? That's my feeling.
Yeah, it
without is. That, what have you got? I mean, you're not going to have gratuitous sex scenes in the
car.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was really, like, quite full on, wasn't it?
Yeah, but again, that is the whole point. Steph?
I thought it was crap. I just hated it so much. I almost stopped watching it. Right. So they feed human beings into the cars. Everyone's screaming. It's just too noisy. It's like going into a really noisy shop where they're feeding people into cars. It's just horrible. I hated it every second of it.
What kind of shops are you going to?
You know, like now where they're trying to entice all the millennials into shops so they put all that music in. And you're like,
loud
oh,
music.
God.
They're not killing people.
But you know, it's like, you know, I'm coming here for a pair of jeans. I don't want an assault on the senses.
God, I knew Abercrombie and Fitch was distressing. I didn't know it was that distressing.
No. It is, though. You know what they're like now. They're like, oh, this is a really cool shop. We've got a DJ. Anyway, that aside, right? Okay. It's a bit like,
my
it's
blood
just,
drive.
But it is just like all these just like screaming and shouting and just everything's so horrible. It's just awful. It's just absolutely awful. Plus, right, they've got that girl who's like a Megan Fox ripoff
totally
girl.
And
Christina Ochoa.
She's very pretty. Very pretty. But, and she, oh God, so it starts where she's like, she's got this lollipop, this like bright red lollipop. Then she's got 375 miles to drive to LA. When she reaches LA, still got that bloody lollipop. Not a little bit of it's gone down. It's just completely unrealistic.
That's such a great observation.
I love the way you're offended by the lollipop.
I'm offended by all of it. It's absolutely rubbish. It's awful. There's too much screaming. There's too much blood. It's just terrible. It's not even like, you know, like Dario Argento. It's not even like...
Oh, well, it's interesting you mentioned that because, of course, the Christina Ochoa's character, lollipop-sucking woman's character, is called Grace Argento.
Yes, exactly.
After the master of the Italian giallo extremely bloody films, yes.
Yeah, but at least you can watch that and they're sort of a little bit funny. This was just crap.
I tell you what I did like, just to...
Really?
Well, no, I did like the character Julian Slink, who is the eccentric kind of ringmaster,
master
of ceremonies.
Yeah.
Who's very, I hated him the most.
Well, he was annoying. I hated him.
Oh,
like,
no,
he was
I liked him. I thought he was like a grotesque Willy Wonka character.
Yeah, he was like... Clearly based on the cabaret style.
Do you know what?
MC.
I'm going to say, what is that thing that you and I both don't like? Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, very
it was
Rock
a bit like
show.
A
yeah,
bloody Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, he was my least favourite thing
really?
About the
whole
show. Oh, really?
I liked him.
Yeah, I liked the... I quite liked it. I enjoyed it.
Honestly,
yeah.
Boyd, are you look me in the eye.
I'm looking
did
in
you
the eye.
Really like it?
Yeah, I'm going to carry on watching it. I'll tell you why, because I like the grindhouse thing. So I'm in favour of the whole exploitation, deliberate, cynical, exploitative films and TV shows.
God.
And I think it captures, and I mean, what I find interesting, it's kind of production values are quite high considering it's trying to ape a kind of low budget, you know, kind of very basic formula. And it is, gratuitousness is the whole point of it. It's, you know, so everything, all of the sex scene you're talking about, the people walking around naked for no reason whatsoever, the blood bits that you're talking about, like Abercrombie and Fitch. I don't really give people, obviously, legal note. The loudness, the screaming, all of that. It's all part of the whole thing. And so my one criticism of it would be, actually, is when it's not doing that, when it's not being gratuitously sexy and violent, it's a bit dull. So the story...
Which bit was it not doing that in, though?
Well, the bits with the MC guy, Kay's favourite, my our least favourite. Like, his bits, him witchering on and trying to rouse the crowd. I'm like, oh, no one cares. Mm. I'll just stop that stuff.
But
I feel they need to focus much more on the gratuitous sex and violence.
The thing
and
is, though,
stop everything else somehow. And somehow come up with some kind of story. I mean, I think it's 13 parts.
That's the thing,
what?
Right?
So yeah, I think so.
Now that the
Christ.
Novelty of feeding people to the engines is gone, like, how can they sustain this? What, we're just going to see more people getting...
Well, that's the big question, yeah. How are they going to sustain it?
Who
can
is
they sustain
this
it?
For? Who would you say? Which people?
Me.
Is it people who like, just like, Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah.
And so, is it, really?
Yeah, if you like bloody, gory...
sexy, like getting jiggy in cars.
Films. Yeah.
But it's so...
There's a lot of fans of the exploitation genre. There's, you know, that's it's a big thing. I think it's kind of like, it feels like what sci-fi should be doing. I mean, they show Sharknado. You know, there's about the fifth one coming up now, I think, any minute now. So it's like they're trying to distill the energy of deliberately cheesy, kitsch, over-the-top nonsense into a kind of weekly show. I think it does a semi-decent job. I did enjoy it. I gave it 4 stars in here. What can I say?
Well, you can say sorry. Exactly.
But I'm not sorry.
It was just awful. Kay, isn't it awful, Kay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it again. Oh, it's basically Top Gear, but bloodier, sexier, and less old men.
Yeah, I mean, the red car's nice.
What's not to like about that?
It's just crap.
Well, I sent some low star ratings from...
I mean, having said that, it's not as bad as teach your pet to do new
Whoa,
tricks.
Whoa, hold on a minute.
Anyway, let's go to the star ratings.
Blood Drive, not as bad as Teach Your Pet to Do Tricks, Kay says. So how many stars are you giving it?
I'm giving it 3 stars.
3 stars?
Yes.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah, it's not dangerous.
Oh, God. It's dangerous for your eyes.
No doors were being opened.
Right. 1 star, but 1 star for the people who like that genre, but my God, it's absolutely crap.
I'm giving it 4 stars, yeah. I like it.
4 stars
still?
I'm
going to carry on watching it. I'm interested in how they will keep it going. Yeah.
Let's not fall out over it.
That is Blood Drive begins next Thursday, the 10th of August at 10 p.m. on Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y. Finally, Atypical. Atypical what? No, that's the title. Sorry.
Hoo-hee.
Sorry. Anyway... Atypical is the new Netflix show. It starts also starts next Friday, dropping in full. Steph, I feel like you're the person who's going to describe, because you've seen the whole thing.
I've seen the whole thing.
I don't know about Kay, but I've only
watched
seen
it all
episode.
Yesterday. Oh, it's given me all the feels. Right, okay. So I'm going to describe this as a mix between Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, Superbad, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's like a mixture of those things in a milkshake of loveliness, okay?
Oh my God.
It really is. Right, so it follows the story. It's a coming-of-age story of Sam, who is an 18-year-old boy who has autism. And his mother, played by the incredible Jennifer Jason Leigh, and his father, played by the even more incredible Michael Rapaport. And he also has a younger sister called Casey, who is played by Bridget Lundy Payne.
Well done. Okay.
So it's about... His kind
did
of
you say who he's Keir Gilchrist? Did you mention him?
Did I not say his name?
I hate to interrupt.
Oh,
but
no, please.
Main
do.
Guy, Keir Gilchrist, yeah.
So he has autism, and it's all about how he's kind of coping with his kind of becoming 18 and all the things that have happened in a normal 18-year-old lives, and how he's coping with it. He works in a shop called Tektronics with his best friend. His best friend Zahid, and it's all about his family life. Because I don't want to give too much away, because you must watch every. It's only half an hour, so you must watch all of them. And
he's trying to find love.
He's trying to find love. He's got sees a therapist every week, who's played with this great girl. I can't remember her name. She's out of How to Get Away with Murder.
Amy Okuda.
Yeah, she's brilliant. And he's got this relationship with his therapist, who he falls in love with, and it's how he navigates that. And it's also got subplots of how his mum is coping and how his dad's coping and how you generally cope if you have someone in your family who has autism, and how his sister copes. His sister's this amazing track runner, and she is incredibly protective over her brother. And the mother is also incredibly, obviously, protective over her son. And it's just kind of how you navigate this whole family situation and the situation at school. It's just wonderful.
I was going to say before you said that, I was going to get the strong sense that you really liked this.
I just absolutely... loved every second of it so much so that I just kept watching it. It's funny, it's clever, it's really original, it's so well done.
It's informative.
It's informative. I mean, I don't know whether anybody out there watched The A Word that BBC
course.
Did. Which
yeah,
is,
oh my God, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so I just...
With
Netflix,
Christie.
I mean, they have absolutely just done it again.
So I was going to mention The A Word, because The A Word I felt was very clever in establishing... what the boy was like, and you know, kind of and it kind of quite subtly made the point that all different types, autism is such a wide spectrum, and you can have all different levels of it, and it can have different kinds of impact. And you know, this is very much feels like it's on the, because this guy is very clever and smart, and he's like overachieving, kind of, isn't he? Really, that's the whole thing. Like, he's incredibly eloquent in some ways.
He's obviously very literal.
Very literal. That's the thing. Yeah, he takes everything very literally. But he's a kind of... But he's... Do you know what I mean? It feels like... There's something quite cute about him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Refer to it later in the series.
You're saying that's
he
a bad
is...
thing? Or?
No. I'm just saying that...
He's more high functioning. They refer to it later in the series. He's more high functioning.
Yeah. Whereas in the A word, I felt it was slightly more gritty and realistic. This feels slightly... I don't know. I have to say, I liked it slightly less than you immediately. I don't know whether I felt there was something... It was trying to be very... realistic and authentic, but I felt it was slightly Hollywoody version.
No, you need to stick with it, because okay. I know what you mean about the first episode, yeah. But once I watched the second episode, because it was only half an hour, and then I was completely hooked. It gets real. Okay. It gets real.
Okay.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the best things we've previewed for Netflix.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Really, and I really liked Casey, played by Bridget Lundy Payne. I thought she was fantastic. That's Sam's sister, who basically nurtures him, tries to help him find love, but equally like treats him as a brother, you know, punching him and stuff like that. And I thought Sam was fantastic. And I wanted to know, does he have autism in real life? I know that sounds ridiculous, but is he just a fantastic actor?
He's just a fantastic actor.
Have you Googled that?
But no, I'm pretty sure he has, because I've seen him in something else. He hasn't got autism in real life, has he?
I don't think so.
No. But the sister, the fact that you like the sister, she has an amazing storyline throughout the rest of it. Yeah, she's absolutely brilliant actress. Really good.
And they give, I mean, you did, the cast is great, because Jennifer Jason Leigh
Jennifer Jason Leigh, come on. She exec produces this as well. Yeah.
And she has a kind of little dalliance. She's flirting. I've seen the first episode.
Okay.
You're looking at me, I'm spoiling it. I haven't seen Jenny, but they're setting something up there, one way or another, barman.
She's at a stage in her life that she does everything for everyone, and you can kind of see that she's getting restless, and people are starting to need her less, because her son who's needed her, now he's 18, and he wants to, you know, explore other things in life. And then the daughter, she has a quite a fractious relationship with the daughter, and that gets fully explored. So she's looking for other things.
The barman, by the way, played by Raul Castillo, mm-hmm. who is in Looking on HBO.
Oh, he's very good.
But a lot of people are big fans of his. He's interesting casting. And Michael Rapaport. Did you ever see Beautiful Girls?
I absolutely love my favourite films. Michael Rapaport is one of my favourite actors. I love him.
I have to say, one of the main things that inspired me to think, I have to go and watch Beautiful Girls again.
Yeah.
And you got to see Beautiful Girls. Okay, this could be your next
task. Have you got
it
on DVD?
Do you know what? I must have somewhere, but it could be a download.
A
it could be a digital
loan.
Download.
No,
you've got
a physical
to see it.
Copy.
It's such a brilliant film, isn't it?
Amazing. I actually don't think Michael Rapaport has been bad in anything he's ever done.
No, he's great. So the cast is brilliant. I don't know why I have any issues with it. I just felt slight. I don't know if something about it didn't quite resonate with me as being.
I thought it's completely realistic.
And
I think it gets more realistic. Really do. I can understand. You're being too picky.
I am being
too goddamn picky.
My friend has her son is on the spectrum, and the stuff she tells me. Like, it's so, because, you know, like, people with autism can be so literal. It's so hilarious, some of the stuff they say, and you don't feel bad. Like, I didn't feel bad at any point, because that's what, you know, with shows like this that are focusing on an issue, you think, oh, God, you know, is it going to be awkward? I don't want to laugh, you know, but
It's so sensitively done.
It's really funny, but also it's really heartbreaking. There's a point where he says, oh, you know, I just want to be normal.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliantly done.
Let me just say, Keir Gilchrist, who we're talking about, the actor, is born in Camden Town.
Oh,
how about that?
He's a local.
Literally, where we're now broadcasting from Camden.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
Call him in.
The thing is, by the end of it, you'll totally fall in love with them. And the family is not perfect. That's the brilliant thing about it. No. I think you could have... I think Jennifer Jason Leigh... God, I can't even remember the last time she was in something. Incredible. And I'm just so happy she's back on screen.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm nitpicking. Yeah, I felt...
Please stop.
It was the voiceover. I will stop, yeah. I don't know something about... It felt a little bit of a formula. That's,
is it because when
I'm
he's talking to camera?
He's talking to camera and the way his narration works.
But the narration...
I've seen stuff... I felt like I'd seen a bit like that before.
No.
And whereas the A word... I keep going back to the A word. For me, the A word was brilliant in avoiding all the traps of formulaic stuff, dealing with someone with, you know, on the spectrum, whereas this
felt
slightly
formulated.
But he was very
young. The thing is, about the A word, is that it focused much more on the family and less on him. This is kind of equal parts, every single person in that family unit.
And the A word is about, it was about his diagnosis and the early stages of it, right? This is...
Of course, yeah. It's a different thing. Very different thing.
It's different kettle of fish. Do you prefer blood drive to this? Because I think we'll have to have fisticuffs.
Wow.
Maybe.
Oh my God, boy, that is ludicrous. It's so good, this show. It's so good. Pogs are going to love it.
I'll carry on watching and I'll apologise profusely. Please. In the next, if I've been wrong.
I watched Insecure and I really liked it.
Oh, no,
you
I
do this for me.
I will. That's my task. I've given you, you know, you've got to watch Beautiful Girls.
Yeah, okay.
You've got to watch Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets. Okay. Actually, you've both got to do that. Yeah, there's a lot of homework to do. I will watch further episodes of Atypical. Kay, how many stars are you giving Atypical?
I'm giving it 4 stars.
I'm going to give it 4 stars as well. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm giving it 4 stars.
This is 5 stars, 100%. It really
You're giving it 5 stars, the same score for The Pet Show. I just want to highlight
that. Yeah, but I've watched all of Atypical and it is Netflix knocked it out of the park. To use an American reference about baseball,
Teach My Pet to do that was all available now, though you'd watch all of that, wouldn't you? So, if you could binge on TMP TDT, you would. I'm giving 4 stars. It's all on Netflix this Friday, the 11th of August.
Take the day off work.
Oh, steady. Take the day off work.
Yeah.
Finally, it is that favourite time of the podcast.
Question time.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
I mean, maybe we release that as a track.
We probably should.
All proceeds go to
us. Quite a short track.
Yeah.
this week's question, inspired by Trust Me, which is in many ways a medical thriller drama. Mm-hmm. What is your favourite television medical drama of all time, Kay?
All right, there was a lot to choose from, and I was going to go for House, but I suspected that you might go for it. So
spoiler
instead,
alert.
I'm going to go for ER.
Oh,
the original, the best. Like, you know, Nurse Hathaway and Dr. Doug Ross. That was the vintage time, and I just love it.
When Clooney was in it.
Mm. And Juliana Margulies.
Juliana Margulies. Amazing.
It did have an incredible cast, didn't it?
Oh my God, do you remember when Dr. Green died?
Yeah,
I got a crying
headache.
It was just so awful.
So, you know, that's something to consider.
Yeah, I was never that into ER, funnily enough.
What?
Yeah, never considered going to it.
This is like really Atypical all over again.
Yes,
don't understand.
Already. Steph?
Well, I want to say House,
you
but
can
you're
say
gonna,
it.
Can we both have House?
Because we'll have to.
Okay, well, I'll just say I loved it and then you can explain how much you loved it. House, obviously, Hugh Laurie, amazing. Who I'm actually now watching in Chance, which is also, he's a psychiatrist and he's really good. Yeah. That's on Universal Channel, everyone.
Correct.
I mean, I don't think you can beat House. It's just incredible. House is fantastic. Although I did kind of like Chicago Hope, but nowhere near House.
I thought you would have gone for Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah,
no, I don't. Do you know what? I don't watch Grey's. And everybody who I say I don't watch Grey's, and they go, do you like Grey's Anatomy? They're shocked. Is that shocking?
Appalled?
Yeah, should I watch Grey's Anatomy?
I think you
it's
should
Shonda.
Get on it.
I do love Shonda.
Yeah, it's Shonda. Shonda's big hit, wasn't it? Big first hit. And it's like 20 millionth season, I think. Still going? Yeah, still going. It's got to be House for me.
Right, and why do you love House?
It's a good question. House has got it all, because it's really Sherlock, of course.
It's
Sherlock
what
Holmes. It's
about?
The medical show. You know,
it's
he lives
better
at
than Sherlock.
You know, he lives at 221B. I mean, the clue's in.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, I didn't see.
Yes,
that.
Sherlock Holmes, House. It's not accidental. Oh. The whole thing is the whole premise of the thing. Kate's looking at me like you both watched this show. You both watched what was it? 7 seasons, 100 million episodes. You never realised.
You did not realise it yourself. You saw it on the internet, didn't you?
Okay, no. Of course I realised. I was that from day one. The brilliant thing about House is it's a mystery every week.
Yeah.
It's the diagnosing the mysterious disease of the week. And he is Sherlock. He's a bitter, twisted, unemotional man, flawed man, drug addiction that Sherlock had.
Oh,
it was completely
God.
Based
on the scales are just falling.
I'm blown
your minds. So it's the second best version of Sherlock Holmes after Sherlock, Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think it's even better than
It's also Holmes. A brilliant, in its own right, a brilliant medical drama, because you got to know the team that he's with, the great characters in that team that you kind of know and love.
What's Jesse? What's that guy
Jesse.
From Neighbours?
Yeah.
He's so fit.
Is it Jesse Spencer?
Jesse Spencer. Well done.
Oh, yeah, he's in Chicago Fire.
Yes, he was great. They're all
so
great.
Hot.
And the role of a lifetime for Hugh Laurie. Remember how incredible that this
His accent was shocking.
Back in the day when, you know, the dude from Fry and Laurie, known for being brilliantly funny guy, plays this incredibly intense,
and Blackadder,
flawed,
and you're like,
difficult, tortured
with a
figure.
Brilliant American accent as well.
Brilliant American accent. Although some people say he was terrible American
Who
accent.
Who said that?
Some idiots.
Fools.
So yeah, House. I loved House. I was obsessed with that. I used to binge on House. It was
incredible.
I'd save it up. Yeah. Deliberately save it up. You know, like
TV crack.
Oh God, yeah, I loved it. I could watch it now. Watch 10 episodes of House.
Because
they
do like a double on whatever.
It's just
on Sky.
Smart,
it's on Sky. It's on Sky Atlantic all the time. Yeah.
If you're off sick, you can watch it.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
I mean, I'll call in sick.
Yeah, call in just sick to watch it.
So it's all about House. Yeah. I think we've hit the. I don't know how long we've been going on for.
Should we tell people to review though?
59, please.
45 seconds.
Oh, 59?
Yeah. Okay, well, quickly tell people how to get in touch with us.
If you indeed
want to get in touch with us, you can talk to Boyd at Boyd Hilton on the old Twitter. And please do hashtag pogs, because we've given you all a name, people on the ground, because you're the people that count. Isn't that right, Kay?
We don't give a shit about anyone else.
We really don't.
Thank you. That's good. Please review us.
Please.
And rate us.
But only if you can give us 5 stars.
Only if you can give us 5 stars on the iTunes.
Yeah.
Thank you ever so much for listening. Thank you to Kay and Steph.
You lost your bet. It's over an hour.
I don't care. But not when it's edited down.
Yeah.
We edit out those pauses and repetitions and things where we've forgotten people's names.
John Dan's not gonna
who's that name? Who's this name? Yeah. All those
what
bits.
What were they in?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
I liked Blood Drive.
Yeah, well, that whole thing, let's not get into it.
It'll be fine. It'll be under an hour. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.